Good morning. I give you a warm welcome. Just a few announcements. This week, James Borvenizer is preaching, not myself. That was my error. Furthermore, there is a meal being made as I speak. You're welcome to join us for it after the service. There is no charge. Next week, on the Saturday, I think that's Saturday the 12th, we're having a special praise and worship night here. It is, I think, 207th anniversary. So please join us for that. I'll be speaking, people will be playing. I think there may also be on a Sunday a walk up Wheat's Hill, weather permitting, and a kind of picnic. And there's also been a request that we take a church-wide photo. It will be outside, it will be optional, I assure you. Right, let's sing together. 173, we're using the Whiting book. Glorious things of thee are spoken. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. the God of Jacob, is our refuge, Selah. Come. Behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah and Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even when there is chaos being churned up upon the seas of this world, we thank you that you are the rock which does not move or change or wobble, and that those who stand upon you will not be shaken, both in the petty tremors of day-to-day living, as well as the bolder and greater quaking of the world at large. We thank you, Lord, that you are an ever-present help in time of trouble, that when in the day of trouble we call upon you, you will answer and we will glorify you accordingly. We thank you, Lord, that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have a refuge from the storm. We have a shelter from the tumult. We have blood across the lintel of our life when death hovers over. How happy a people is Jeshurun. Lord, we pray this morning that our worship would be acceptable. We come not to meet each other, but to meet with the living God. We pray that when your word is opened, we might hear your voice speaking from the page. We pray for the children, that they would learn something of you today. For the older people, that we would learn something of you today. We pray for any who do not yet know you as Saviour and friend, that they would find you today. And for those who've known you a long time and walked with you, that they might grow to love you even more today. Help us, we pray, Lord, and join us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing 1019. James is not coming up to preach now, but he does spend an awful lot of his time in schools. So he offered to address the children. And of course we all know what that means as the entire children of God. We, no disrespect, James, but we sometimes learn more from a children's talk than we do from a sermon. I can vouch for that.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? I'm going to stay down here if that's okay. Where's all the boys and girls this morning? Put your hands up so I can see you. Oh, brilliant. There's some little. Oh, there's some over here as well. Absolutely brilliant. And we're all children of God if we know and love the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But I've brought something with me this morning. Now the parents are wondering, what's that? I don't have anything in my hand. Oh, yes, I've brought the Bible. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, but I want to quote a verse to you that is right in the center of the Bible. But I've also brought something else. Okay. But I want to quote the center verse of the Bible to you, which is Psalm 118, verse 8. And it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Let's read verse 9 as well. "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Now, I want you to think about those words as I speak to you this morning. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, I'm going to show you something that I'm going to take out of my pocket. And I want to see, can you think of who am I thinking about in the Old Testament? It's a red rope. Anybody got it? Somebody in the Old Testament? Have you got it, Alan? Oh, very good. We've got one. Okay, anybody else might have it? I think somebody else might have it. I'll give you a clue. It's early, yes, Rahab. Okay. Now, you're wondering, what am I going to think about? What am I going to talk about Rahab? Well, as I was thinking about this morning, there are three people I could have told you about leading up to this, the account of Rahab. We know the account that the Israelites came out of Egypt through the Red Sea down to Mount Sinai, led by Moses, received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, where Moses received them. They came up to a place called Kadesh Oasis, and because of their unbelief, they wasted time. And they wasted their own time. Do you ever waste your own time? By being disobedient? Oh, no? Okay. But you don't only waste your own time, but you waste your parents' time or teachers' time. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? And they wasted 40 years. Moses brought them around to a place called Moab, and Moses died. But then there was a man called Joshua who became the next leader. And he sent spies across the Jordan River because Joshua knew what was in the land of Canaan, but 40 years had passed by. He knew there was a city called Jericho, but he did not know what was in it. And he sent two spies to cross the River Jordan to go into the city of Jericho and spy out what was there because they were about to enter. And the spies got talking to a lady called Rahab in their home on the walls of Jericho. And Rahab saw that God were with the spies. And no matter what would happen, God was going to give them the city. And Rahab said to the spies, "I'm going to let you out the window with this red scarlet rope." They had to hide for 3 days before returning back to Joshua and giving the account before they entered into the land of Canaan. But in order for Rahab to survive, she had to do something. Right? And becoming a Christian this morning, you have to do something. And that is take a step of faith. Okay? You know what taking a step of faith is? Forsaking all, I trust Him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him, the Lord. And the spies had said to Rahab, when we come to take the city, you need to hang the rope out the window. Stay within the four walls of your home, and you and your household will be safe. And every day, Rahab had the rope rolled up. She had it hanging by the window. And every day she looked at that rope, it reminded her of what she had to do. She was trusting who? Who was she trusting? Was it the spies or was it God? That's interesting, isn't it? She believed what the spies said, but she had made a choice, a decision to trust God. But in order to do that, she had to do something in order to be safe. And so when the Israelites came through the River Jordan, they were walking all around the city every day, once a day for 6 days, except the seventh day they did it seven times. And Rahab put the rope out the window. And what happened? When Joshua gave the command to blow the trumpets, shout praise to God, the walls came tumbling down. But did they all come tumbling down? Did they? Anybody? Did they come tumbling down? You're afraid to shake your head, aren't you? No, they didn't. The walls came tumbling down except the house where Rahab and her family lived. Why? Because she put her trust in the Lord. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And young people this morning, if you forget everything else of what is being said here this morning, remember, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. But in order to show that you are trusting God, you have to take that step of faith. And you have to take that step in acknowledging who God is. That He sent Jesus to die on the cross for the sin of the world, for your sin, yes, my sin. And we must ask Him for His forgiveness by saying, I'm sorry. Please forgive me and come into my heart and be my Savior. And trust Him every step of the way. And when things fail, come back and say, I'm sorry, God. I should have trusted You. But help me to trust You more. Remember the red scarlet rope. In order for Rahab to show God that she was trusting, she had to do that action with the rope out the window. God is asking you to take that step of faith and trust Him. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's sing 1072. 1072. Going to invite in a moment James to come up a second time, but let's pray before he comes. Heavenly Father, thank you that James is among us today. Thank you for the work he does with the Faith Mission, upon which we ask your blessing now. But Lord, as we come to look upon your words, we do pray that you might speak to us through it, in Jesus' name.
Well, it is lovely to be with you this morning and to share from God's word as we open it and as we read it. And we do appreciate your interest and support for us as we work through the ranks of the Faith Mission, reaching out into schools and into various different places with the good news of the gospel where he leads. And do continue to pray for our schools. It is amazing and a real privilege to teach the children of our country the word of God. Many who have never heard the truth of God's word. Please pray that God would touch many of these lives. and that he would lay a foundation in their little hearts, that as they head for high school, college, university, out into the great big wide world that we live in, that they would find Christ as Savior. I've been really encouraged, really, over the last couple of years coming out of pandemic, encouraged to meet so many Christian teachers. And that's a real privilege. And to get alongside them and to open up the Word of God and to encourage them as we teach the children. I was teaching there last term about the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, and this is just to help you to pray as we come in to look at God's Word. And we're teaching about the Lord Jesus entering into Jerusalem. The religious leaders, they didn't like the Lord Jesus. They were about to pick up stones and throw stones at the Lord Jesus to kill him. But Jesus withdrew and went over into Perea to count the cost of life and what it would cost him in order for us to have eternal life with God in heaven. And as I was teaching about that and the religious leaders about to stone the Lord Jesus, two children in two different schools, in two different classes, asked the same question. And they put up their hand and I said, yes. And they said, that is unfair that the religious leaders wanted to stone Jesus to death. Why was that? What an opportunity to share what religion does. A list of rules and regulations that if I do this, then I can't do that. But if I do that, I'll be in trouble with that. And if I do that, and so on. And you're in a box. But having a relationship with the Lord Jesus brings freedom and joy and an openness to be able to live freely because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Will you pray that we'll get more questions like that, that will help us to explain the truth of the gospel as we open up God's Word and teach it to the children of our country? Because our nation needs the Lord. And this is where it begins, in the place of prayer, in the house of God. And I want to encourage you, and I want to thank you, and I want to give you thanks for that support and encouragement that you do give, not only to the Faith Mission, to many other Christian organizations that you work with and support and love. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 9 as we look at God's Word this morning. John chapter 9. We're not going to read the whole of the chapter, but we'll read from verses 1 through to 12. Then we'll jump down to verse 26 to verse 38, and we'll jump in between the pieces that we haven't read as we go through God's Word together. John chapter 9, we're commencing to read from verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James. Please follow in whatever version you are using this morning. It's always lovely to hear the rustle of the pages. John chapter 9, reading from verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works in him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus met me and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to wash, go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Verse 26. Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why? This is a marvelous saying. This is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God, he and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who has been born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Amen. And we trust the reading of God's word will speak into our hearts as we look into it together. Let's have a short prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is truth. It is living and it is powerful. Lord, I pray that you would just help me this morning. Hide me behind the cross. Let the voice of Jesus be heard, speaking into each of our lives and drawing us to yourself. Lord, speak, we pray. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I want to take this morning verse 38 as my text. Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. The Lord Jesus lived in the country of Israel. He traveled all around the country of Israel. As I mentioned earlier, he went into Perea. And he moved around, but the purpose of him moving around were to meet with people. And God in heaven, who created the world and the world that we live in and created us in his own image, created us to do amazing things. But because of man's selfishness and sinfulness, we have gone our own way. We've gone and done our own thing. But thanks be to God that the gospel has found many of us. and brought us into a relationship with him. And I wonder this morning, as we think about the Lord Jesus, as we think about God, as we've come into the house of God, are there someone or some few who know about God and know that it is good to be in the house of God, but do not know him in their hearts? One thing is to know about God, but it is another thing to know him personally and to allow him into every aspect of your life. And here we have this blind man. There are three questions about Jesus and about this blind man that as he sat and begged for many, many years. We don't know his age. We don't know the time scale. But he sat and he begged, because that was the only way they could survive, was from the goodness of people throwing them coins and food and whatever as they passed by. He sat and he begged. And as Jesus passed by and came, and they know that here that his disciples asked, saying, Rabbi, and they greeted him as teacher. Teacher. And even the religious leaders knew that no one could have done a miracle like this unless God was with them. Jesus came, he was brought to the Lord Jesus, and he spat on the ground and he anointed his eyes with a clay that he made from the saliva as he spat on the ground. But here, this blind man, as Jesus made the clay and put it on his eyes, he too had to go and do something. Just like Rahab with the scarlet rope. She had to put it out the window. The blind man here was told to go and wash. He was sent to wash. When he went and when he washed, he came back seeing. And so it is for the unbeliever this morning, that there is something that you must do. You know about God, and why God sent Jesus into the world was because of the sin of the world and our sinfulness before a holy God. He was sent into the world to die. God, who loves us, sending his son Jesus into the world to die? That's not very fair, is it? But it's because he loves you this morning that he sent Jesus to the cross. He sent him to earth to live. He was tempted just like you and I are, but yet without sin. Who did amazing miracles. Who fed thousands from a little boy's lunch. Who went walking on the water to the disciples in difficulty on the Sea of Galilee and said to Peter, come. Walk on the water. And in all of those circumstances, something had to happen in order for God to do something amazing. And friend, this morning, if you know about God and you know it's right to come into the house of God and to worship him, but yet on Monday you're a different person. To have your Monday the same as a Sunday, you need to come to the cross. You need to come to the cross and acknowledge who Jesus is and how God sent him from heaven to earth to die on the cross because of your sin. Because it is your sin this morning that is separating you from God. And the only way for that to be dealt with is by acknowledging that you are a sinner before a holy God. This blind man here, his eyes were anointed with clay. He was sent to the pool of Siloam to wash. And he went, but he came back seeing. But then the challenge came, didn't it? And becoming a Christian means everything. But it doesn't mean that you won't have the challenges, you won't have the uphill struggles, you won't have the difficulties in life. Yes, you will. But in knowing Christ as Savior, He will go with you. He will be there all of the time. And He is there. But it is different when you know Him as Lord and Savior of your life. I can take you back to a time in our lives with Linda and I when we were expecting our first child. And our first child, complications were picked up in the scans. We were told so much that he wouldn't survive to birth, and if he did, 5 to 10 minutes afterwards, with the difficulties that were there. And there were days through the pregnancy, and we struggled as a couple. Struggled maybe in one way, but not in another. But there were days and I did not know what to pray. And as all I could pray was, Lord, help me. Lord, help us. And He did. Because God brought into us a peace that passes all understanding into those difficult circumstances that were uphill struggles in life that God brought us through. John is our eldest. He did have all the complications, but he did have a lot of others. And tomorrow, he's 26 years of age. And there has been times, and I could take you to other times. And I'm going to share something this morning that I've never shared before from the pulpit. But John had many operations. He had cleft lip and palate, a number of operations around his cleft lip and palate area around his mouth. He had an operation and we'd brought him home from hospital. And the operation began to break down and he had to be taken back into hospital. And the surgeon had gone on holiday, but he came in off his holidays to operate on John again. We were on a mission close to home and I was out doing some doors, and it was before we had mobile phones, and Linda found it hard to get me and she eventually got me. And when I went back to Manchester to the hospital where John was, he was lying on the table, not moving. And they let me in to see him. And I was in before he got a blood transfusion. And I can still see the nurse coming in with the syringe of 20 ml of blood and pumping it into him. And she went for another one. And I can still picture it when 30 mils of blood had gone into me. He woke up and he looked around. And friends, this morning there is power in the blood. It is the blood that keeps our bodies going, but it's the blood of Jesus that will get us to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus that will forgive you of your sin and allow you into heaven. And he is 26 tomorrow. John doesn't speak. He speaks through an app on an iPad. But boys, will he give you a hug? A hug because he loves. But boys, is he sensitive to those who are not so loving? Friends, this morning, God loves you as an individual. He loves you this morning, no matter what you are facing, no matter how you are feeling, no matter what you have to look forward to, God loves you. A friend this morning, do you love him? Do you love him as he loves you? Because God sent his son Jesus into the world to give his life so that you could have life for all eternity with him in heaven through Calvary. It's quite interesting when you're in school and you're teaching the Word of God, and quite often I'll ask the children, in order to be forgiven, what have you got to say? And the word is, sorry, isn't it? But do you know what sorry actually means? It's quite interesting, isn't it? Sorry actually means, I will never do it again. It's amazing how many people don't know that. Sorry means, I will never do it again. Friends, this morning, if you want to get right with God, you need to come and say, I'm sorry, and mean it, and ask him for his forgiveness, and invite him into your heart and into your life as Savior. And here, this blind man, he was asked, where is he? He said, I don't know. I don't know where he is. And they started to quiz him. What did he do to you? What has he done to thee? His answer was, he opened my eyes, and now I see. Friends, this morning, has Christ shown you your sin in order for you to come to Calvary? He showed me my sin, but also opened my eyes. Who is he? His answer, he is a man called Jesus. A man called Jesus, open mine eyes. Who is he? A prophet? In verse 17, we see there, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet, but he is more than a prophet. Because we see there in verse 33, where he says, "If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. They cast him out because they thought they had all the answers. But there in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of God?" Friends, this morning, do you believe in Jesus, the Son of God? The one who prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what was ahead of him? That if there was another way for this to be done, please, please do it. But if not, I will willingly go to the cross. And he did. But what was the blind man's response? He answered and said in verse 36, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus answered him, and Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you." Friend, this morning, this blind man had the privilege of seeing him with his very own eyes. This morning, you can see him through the eyes of faith, believing in him. Because he will come by his Spirit and speak into your heart and into your life. And friend, this morning, can I say to you, if you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable this morning, you need to do something. You need to come before Christ, the Lord Jesus, and confess your need of him. And simply say, "I am sorry. Truly sorry. Please forgive me. And come into my life." And determine to walk with him every step of the way. I lived the life of a Christian, tried to, for 15 years. I read the Bible, I prayed, I went to church, I did the things a Christian should do, but yet was not a believer. And at the age of 15, through a farm accident, 2 years previous, the result of that farm accident brought me to faith in Christ. Friends, this morning, don't wait for something to happen. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Just last week, my sister-in-law lives in the south of Ireland. She's a florist, and where they live, where she has her florist shop in the main town of Monaghan, in the south of Ireland, there was a car going with 5 people in it to some celebrations. 2 were killed instant. Two were killed instant. 3 survived. If that had been you, would you have been on your way to heaven? would you be on your way to hell? Friends, today, hell is a hated word, but it is a real place. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And this blind man will be in heaven. A man called Jesus made clay and put it on my eyes. I went, I washed, and now I can see because I believe. In verse 38, this blind man, he said, Lord, I believe. But that was only the start. Because it goes on to say, and he worshipped him. He worshipped him. How did Jesus find him? He found a blind man. But how did he leave him? He left him believing and worshipping. Friends, this morning, if you haven't been to Calvary yet, you can come in a sinner. But if you come to Calvary, you can go home a believer. Which will it be for you? Which will it be? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Man will let you down. God will never. Trust him. Let's bow in a moment of prayer, and then Alan is going to come back. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth, it is living, and it is powerful. And most of all, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming from heaven to earth, for giving of your life on that cruel cross, shedding your blood for the forgiveness of sin, but rising again, and who is alive and willing to forgive those who come to you. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would challenge us in our walk with you. But for any who may be here this morning, do not know you as Savior, bring them, Lord, to the cross. Draw them by your Spirit to yourself in repentance of their sin, acknowledging you and helping them to allow you to be the Savior of their lives. Have your way this morning. Move mightily, we pray, and have thine own way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in that passage which we heard read and preached. We behold there ourselves. Without you, Lord, we cannot see. And though the world will look down upon us for having come to you, you are the Son of God, and in you we believe. Thank you, Lord, that you have moved in so many hearts, drawing us on, beckoning us to approach the gentle Saviour. And Lord, we do pray for any in our midst today, that they too might come to the Saviour and come back to worship him, see him. Amen. Amen. I'm afraid today is something of a goodbye. I wonder if members of the current training team would come out with us to pray with you. So if you're on the training team this year, I'm afraid very awkwardly, I'm asking you to come out to the front. Of course, we might see some of them again. People have a habit of visiting, but I'm sure you've been as blessed by their company as I have been. And we're going to pray now for these people. James is in Armenia. He can't be here, but we may see him again next year. We're going to pray for them now, that whatever their future holds, they will shine brightly for the Lord Jesus, because the world is getting darker and we need people to shine brighter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these young people who have blessed our church so very, very much. Lord, as they go home, or they go to university, or they go to a job, or they go wherever you are leading them to, Heavenly Father, we pray your richest blessing upon them now. Lord, we rejoice that you saved them while they were young, and that they've spent this last year working for you. Lord, we pray that the lessons learned at Netherside will bless people for decades to come. And Lord, I pray that if this small chapel in the insignificant part of the world has played some part in that as well, that you would get the honour and the glory. Lord, on each one of them now, may your protection, your guidance and your guarding be apparent from beginning to end. May they know that there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.